passion and pride. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power.
Say anything about Dan. He's got a message to go, so here we go. Go ahead and listen as best you can.
All right. Well, I enjoy singing with a bunch of men like that because you can just let it go. If you're a soloist, well, you got to be a little more careful, but that's fun. All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Joshua 14. Joshua chapter 14. And we'll be going to some different passages here this morning. But starting in Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, let's begin looking in verse. No, we won't read it quite yet. I want to say a few things first, but we'll go to verse 6 in just a moment. I want to ask you a few questions. First of all, do you have some goals for your life? Do you have a dream within you to do something or to be a part of something great for God? Do you have a vision, in other words? What's a vision? A vision, well, there's several different understandings of that word, but the one I'm talking about this morning is the ability to think about or plan the future with imagination, wisdom, and foresight. It's having a clear goal. It's something that you might even call a dream. And it, as we will talk about this morning, should be something for the Christian that God gives you, not that you come up with your own understanding. I'd like to preach a message entitled this morning, Mountaintop Visions. And I'd like us to look at someone in the Bible who had a vision for a mountaintop. You see, God intends for us to be visionary people, I believe. The Bible doesn't say a lot directly about this topic, but it's certainly in the Word of God, and we see examples of people who went with a drive in their spirit to do great things for the Lord. And God intends for us not to be timid, but to be bold and to be visionary people, visionary with the visions He gives us. We were created in the image of God, and there's something unique about human beings. We are in His image. We're not like animals. Animals don't have the same kind of ability to have a vision like you and I do. Animals, they can accomplish some pretty amazing feats, and we are amazed at God's creation. Like, I think of this little bird that flies across the Pacific Ocean every year to lay its eggs on one little island. It's just fascinating to learn of things like that in the creation world, or the salmon that will swim for miles and then all the way up a creek just to lay their eggs, and it's just amazing. Some of the things we can learn about the animals, but they're very different than us. And we are not animals, in spite of what some people say in our day. We are made in the image of God. And there's proof that we're very different than the animals. When we went to the moon, the polar bears were not there. Okay, we were there, but they were not. There's a big difference. We may have sent a dog or a few chimpanzees to space, but they needed us to get there. Okay, so we are very unique. And God intends for us to be visionary people. I think of Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. It's Paul said there, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You see, he had a goal. He had a vision. He had something he was reaching for. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, it says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." Romans chapter 12, verse 11, "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." Colossians chapter 3, 23, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Once again, you have a goal. You're shooting for something. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain." Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. We're going to be looking at that passage a little bit this morning and learning about the man named Caleb. And there Caleb stilled the people, the Bible says, before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Caleb was a man who had a mountaintop vision. And I want us to look at his example a little bit this morning. Just being visionary is not sufficient, though. If our visions are not God-given visions, then understand, we're wasting our time in life. We need to be following after things that God leads us to, that His will is clear on. They must be God-given visions. And Caleb had a mountaintop vision. He didn't have what I would call a valley vision. God does not give us valley visions. He gives us mountaintop visions. Well, you say, "Well, Brother Dan, what's a valley vision?" Well, I would say a valley vision is one that gives you no more territory than a small portion of the valley. Where you live is a subject to those who still control the highland. In the valley, you live oppressed, discouraged, and in fear. But when you have a God-given mountaintop vision, you experience miracles, as you conquer the highlands and you do what God's called you to do. When you conquer that area that God said is yours, this is what I've given to you, this is your inheritance, this is what I've promised to you. And when you have that kind of a mountaintop vision, that is a life worth living. Caleb was a man in the Bible who had this. And I want us to read Joshua chapter 14, these verses, to get a better picture of when Caleb was receiving his inheritance. And many of you know he made that famous statement, "Give me this mountain." And this is that passage. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6 through 15. The Bible says there, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite," "said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people to melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast fully followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day when Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me. Then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Now, in this passage, we find Joshua giving out inheritance, giving out a land, assigning portions of land to the people of God. And we just read how Caleb was assigned the land area of Hebron, the mountainous area of Hebron. And Caleb is recounting in this passage, as he is given this inheritance, he's recounting the time back in Numbers chapter 14. Just to help you remember, in Joshua chapter 14, you go back to Numbers 14, and that's where Caleb was talking about. And so we'll flip back there later. But you remember what's happening back in Numbers chapter 14. Actually, Numbers 13 and 14. So there is when they had come, they journeyed toward the promised land. They'd just come out of Egypt. They've seen God do miracles and provision. They've gone through the Red Sea. They've gone through the golden calf, the Mount Sinai, and all those things had taken place. And here they come to this place called Kadesh Barnea. And Moses assigned 12 spies to go into the land, and Caleb was one of those. And they went and did that. And the 10 gave an evil report, the 2 gave a good. And that's what took place, and he's recounting all of that back in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. And I think about how Caleb was a man in the Bible who had this mountaintop vision. He had some very clear goals in his life, and even at an old age, he was still fighting for them. And I think about his life, and it would be reasonable to assume that Caleb had been born into slavery in the land of Egypt. And he endured that oppression for much of his life, probably not all 40 years, but much of his young adult years was his experience there in Egypt. Later, when God miraculously delivered his people and all the plagues and everything, Caleb, I believe, got to observe all of that. He witnessed that firsthand. He was able to walk through the Red Sea on dry land and see the power of God on display. He witnessed the burning top of Mount Sinai. He lived through that golden calf tragedy. He experienced the turmoil and all that was going on through his nation during that time. And when they finally arrived at Kadesh Barnea, he was one of those spies. No doubt, through that long time, the journeying and all those experiences, no doubt Caleb spent much time dreaming about the promised land. He was on his way. He was going there. He was longing for it. I don't know what he would dream about, but I'm sure he thought about the land that he would someday own and what he would do with that land and the farm he would operate and how he would do this and how he would do that. And he would dream about these things, I'm sure. Humans tend to do that. And he probably endured some difficulties in Egypt. And at some point in his young adult years, I believe that he acquired himself this God-given mountaintop vision for the promised land. And he, through those struggles and through those years, became determined, became resolved that through faith, he was going to conquer that land. He was going to receive the promise. And he was going to see that mountaintop vision to unfold. As we think about mountaintop visions this morning, we need to take the example of Caleb and his life and the truths of God's word about visions and seek for God-given visions in our own lives as well, in our personal lives, but in our church also. We must seek a God-given mountaintop vision and set out by faith to accomplish it. And so I want us to look at point number one here, a vision acquired. Number one, vision acquired. Have you acquired a vision in your life? Do you have some goals? Do you have some spiritual dreams? Some things that you'd like to do for God? Have you acquired a vision, a God-given vision? You may be sitting here and thinking, well, Dan, isn't that the pastor's job? Isn't it the leader that's supposed to have the vision? And I would say, yes, absolutely it is. But I believe it's the job of every Christian to dream what God may want them to do and to have a drive in them to press toward that mark, to be shooting for a real goal, to be praying in dependence upon the Lord to unfold His plan in their life and to follow His will. That's the job of every single one of us, not just the pastor. But it is certainly the job of the leadership, the pastor, to have that vision. And so I'm not going to just bring pastor up here and have him sit in front of us and preach to him tonight, this morning, okay? This is for every single one of us, to have a mountaintop vision and to acquire that kind of a drive. Caleb had that. And so I ask, are you pursuing God's calling in your life? And I want to do it on a corporate level as well. Are we as a church pursuing God's calling? Are we unified in a mountaintop, a God-given mountaintop vision here this morning? Not a valley vision. Not the kind of vision that we would that would just give us a little portion of land and a little area where we can just survive until the end comes. Not that kind of a vision. I'm talking about a mountaintop vision that is God-given, that is His promise, and that is moving forward for His glory. Do we have that kind of a vision? Number one, vision acquired. How do you know you have a vision? How do you know that your vision is God-given? Well, I want to look here at specifically verse 12 in Joshua chapter 14, and we'll see several things here about a mountaintop vision. How do you know that you have a vision for something? Well, notice, first of all, that it is a desired vision. What you want to do for the Lord, it's a thing that you desire. Look at verse 12. You remember there that Caleb said, "Now therefore, give me this mountain." It was something he desired greatly. He longed for it. I want that highland right there, that area called Hebron. I want that mountain. And I believe that Caleb was even very specific in his mind, I'll get to that next, about the area that he was shooting for, that area that he wanted, that mountain. He said, "Therefore, give me this mountain." He wasn't talking about a valley for sure. He wasn't talking about just a little bit where I can kind of stay to myself and all the while living under the oppression and the fear of those who own the highlands. No, he wanted a mountain. So it's a desired vision, a vision that must be motivated by a strong, unflinching desire. If you don't want it, you certainly won't achieve it. And so I ask you, do you desire to do something great for God? In Numbers chapter 13, We'll turn over to there later, but Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." I mean, he was convinced of this thing. He said, that's ours. Let's go take it. In chapter 14, verses 6 through 7 of Numbers, Caleb also said there, "Caleb the son of Jephunneh spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land is an exceeding good land." You see, he was convinced of this. This is something we want. This is something I desire. And when you have a God-given mountaintop vision, it is a desired thing. Do you desire anything in life? I hope you do. I hope you're shooting for something, and I hope you're shooting for what God wants you to go for. The Bible says in Psalm 145, verse 19, "He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them." And so it's something you desire. It's a desired vision, but also notice here that it was a detailed vision. Caleb had some specific goals that he wanted. He said, "Give me this mountain," in verse 12. And as I've studied this and looked through it, there's several different passages that speak to it, even some things that Moses said about that whole account. I believe that Caleb had that mountain in mind. He had those highlands specifically of Hebron in mind when he was expressing this. "Now therefore give me this mountain." I don't know, maybe they were looking at the mountain ranges themselves as they had this meeting and they were dividing up the land. Maybe it was in view and he said, "That one right there." I don't know if they were looking at a topographical map or what. And he went and he said, that's the one I want. I don't know what it was, but he was very specific. "I want this one right here. Give me this mountain." Hebron is a very interesting place. There's much that I could have spent time studying about it. But it was, the easiest way I can put it is, it was the promised land of the promised land. This was the land that God had promised to Abraham. The very land. It was right there in the center. In Genesis chapter 13, we would read about that. Abraham was it's that passage where Abraham was told by God, look this way, look that way, northeast, southwest, and go walk through that land. That's the land I'm going to give you. And the very next verse, he took his tent and he went into that land. You see, this was the promised land of the promised land. It's where the patriarchs had lived, not just Abraham, but Isaac, Jacob, and on. This is where it was happening, in Hebron. It's where Sarah died, Genesis chapter 23. Abraham buried her there in Hebron. He bought that cave, the tomb there in Hebron, to bury his dead. It's where Isaac buried Abraham. It's where Jacob buried Isaac. And it's the area, the exact area through which Caleb and the 11 other spies took their journey when they were spying out the land. They came up from the south, and they came up through Hebron. Where's Hebron, you're wondering? Southwest of Jerusalem, in the highlands there. That's the area where the spies came up through. They came up through Hebron, the Bible tells us. It would be over in Numbers chapter 21. You could read that there. They came up through that area, passed right through Hebron, and then just beyond it, as they're coming north, was the grapes of Eshcol. And so he went through that region as a 40-year-old man, getting to see the dream itself, getting to experience that vision that he had longed for. He was there for the first time. And he wanted that. I believe it was an experience that he never forgot. And later in Joshua chapter 14, he says, "Give me this mountain." And so it was a very detailed vision that he had. How do you know you have a vision? Well, it's something you desire. It's detailed. You're specific. You're not just shooting out there into the dark, hoping you hit something with a shotgun. No, you're zeroed in on that goal that God has led you to. It's a detailed vision. The thing is, once you start getting detailed with your goal, and you start shooting for something specific, not everyone will agree with the details of your vision. But you know what? That's okay. When it's a God-given vision. So it's a desired thing. It's a detailed thing. It's a difficult vision as well. When you have a God-given vision, it's a difficult one. It's never something that's easily accomplished. The task requires hard work, unwavering faith. There might even be a fight before it's all over. And that was what Caleb knew would take place. It says in Joshua chapter 14, verse 12, let me read out of my Bible here. Verse 12, "Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced." You see, it was not going to be easy to see this mountaintop vision unfold. It's a difficult thing. It requires hard work, unwavering faith. And I ask, would Faith Bible Church be up to the task? It's a desired thing. It's a detailed thing. It was difficult. But then finally, when we acquire a vision in life, it's got to be a divinely given vision. Divinely given. It's got to be from God. It's got to be something that He leads us to. It's got to be something that clearly this is His will. Or as I said earlier, it's not worth going for. Why waste your time? Why waste your life away? Go for what God has called you to and don't go anywhere else. A vision must be a goal that God has given you. It is a dream that He leads you to have. And Caleb's vision was a righteous one, and he had the Word of God to confirm it. What about the goals you have in your life? What about the dreams you have? I want to do this. I want to do that. Well, are they God-given? Has God been clear in His will toward you? Have you followed in seeking His will? And you see in Joshua chapter 14, verse 12, how Caleb said, "Give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day." You see, he knew this was something that was divinely given for him in his life. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, God, after dealing with the dissension and the rebellion of the people, who the 10 spies gave the bad report, and the people were all frantic and scared to go in and possess the land. God, after dealing with them and Moses trying to work things out between God's people and God, God said there about Caleb in verse Numbers 14, verse 24, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit in him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." You see, this was a divinely given vision for Caleb. So what about yours in your life? Number one, vision acquired. Have you acquired a vision in your life? The Bible says in Psalm 37, verses 4 through 5, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Meaning He's going to put those desires in you. He's going to give you the vision. "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Vision acquired. I am thrilled to be a part of a ministry where there is vision. I'm excited about what God has for the future of Faith Bible Church. Vision has been acquired, folks. Now, number two, vision abandoned. Vision abandoned. Not everyone will be excited about your vision. Some people will abandon you altogether as you strive to wholly follow the Lord. Now take your Bibles and turn back to Numbers chapter 13 and 14. And we will see the 10 spies who gave an evil report. We will see the effect it had on other people when the vision was abandoned. Notice with me, first of all, Numbers 13, verses 31 through 33. Numbers 13, verses 31 through 33. So the spies had just returned. They were giving their report. There was already some things that were said that were upsetting the people. Verse 30, we see how Caleb stilled the people. He's saying, calm down, listen to this. We're able to overcome it. But verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so were we in their sight. Notice with me, they were abandoning this vision. They were saying, not us. We're not going along with this. And notice that abandoning a vision is evidence often of fear and unbelief. When you say, I'm not getting behind that. No, I'm not going to be involved in that. I'm not going to go there. I think that's stretching faith a little too much. It's often evidence of fear and unbelief. Now, it comes out very clearly in this passage that that was a problem with these people. They saw the giants. They saw the mountains that couldn't be conquered. Notice chapter 14, verses 8 through 9 also. You see this again. Evidence of fear and unbelief. Chapter 14, verses 8 through 9. Remember, we're in Numbers. Chapter 14, verses 8 through 9 says there, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Pause there. I should have mentioned this is where Caleb and Joshua are again trying to come back and encourage the people. Look, it's okay. We can take them. Verse 9, they said, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. For they are bred before us, and their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But that's exactly what these people were doing. They were fearful. They were not willing to believe God, to take him at his word, to trust him. And as a result, the vision was abandoned. When that happens in our lives, it can often be because we are allowing ourselves to believe the lies of the devil. We are being manipulated by him. It causes us to become fearful and unbelieving, not willing to take God at his word and act upon it. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. I'll just be honest with you, you know, sometimes I'm scared. I'm scared to obey God. But that is not from the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Psalm 56, verses 3 through 4, it says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Boy, that's a testimony I want to have. How about you? But in abandoning a vision, well, that's often evidence of there being fear and unbelief. How about this? Abandoning a vision hurts other people. We see in Numbers chapter, well, we'll get to Numbers here again, but notice just as I read it, back in Joshua chapter 14, verse 8, Caleb was again recounting this time that we're here at now. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people to melt. Moses was recounting this over in Deuteronomy chapter 1, where he said this very thing, our brethren have discouraged our heart. And we see it also in Numbers chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us up into this land, brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, and our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. You see, when the people were abandoning the vision, the God-given vision, boy, it hurt other people. It discouraged. Moses and Aaron, they fell on their faces. They didn't have anything they could say. It took Joshua and Caleb to stand up before all the people and say, don't do this. God's promised. Let's go possess it. Don't rebel against the Lord. But when you fail to acquire and pursue a God-given vision in your life, it will hurt others around you. Notice verses 22 through 23 of Numbers chapter 14. Numbers 14, 22 through 23. It says there, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened unto my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. Now, obviously, that was God talking after the incident, and he was saying, look, here's the consequence. You're going to rebel against me? You're not going to follow through and possess the land? Well, then you're not going to see it. You're not going to get it. You're not going into the land. And a third thing that I want to notice about abandoning a vision is it keeps you where you are, in the wilderness. When you abandon the God-given vision, the mountaintop vision, you will certainly stay in the wilderness of valley visions, the place where you are defeated, fearful, and subject to the enemies of God who still control the high land. And so I want to challenge you, Faith Bible Church, don't abandon the vision, the God-given vision. I understand if it's not a God-given vision, then don't waste your time with it. Don't do it. But if you recognize this is a God-given vision, God is in this thing, then you make sure you don't abandon it. Your personal life, don't abandon God's vision, God's will for your life. You be faithful. Number three, vision adopted. We see number one, vision acquired. Number two, vision abandoned. Number three, vision adopted. You see, you need to acquire a God-given vision for your life personally. But there are times that we should also adopt the God-given visions of others and encourage them as they fight for the high land. Vision adopted. Notice here how Caleb, let's turn back to Joshua chapter 14. Notice here how Caleb adopted the God-given vision of those who had gone before him. He had acquired his own mountaintop vision. I want that Hebron. Give me this mountain. But the truth was that he adopted a vision that was already there. It was the thing that God had promised to the entire nation, to Abraham. Went all the way back to the founding fathers of the nation of Israel. And at the age of 85, as we read, that dream, that mountaintop vision was still burning in the heart of Caleb. And so it doesn't matter how old you are, there should still be a fire burning in your heart to serve the Lord with all your might. And so we see, number three, vision adopted, that the older generation adopted the vision. This wasn't just something that Caleb had when he was 40 years old. After wandering in all the wilderness and enduring all that, back to the promised land at age 85, he still wanted that mountain. And it didn't matter that he was 85. And so I want to challenge Faith Bible Church, the older generation needs to adopt the vision. But also notice in Joshua chapter 15. Joshua chapter 15, verses 16 through 17. Well, 13 through 17. Joshua chapter 15. So in 14, Caleb was assigned the inheritance of Hebron. But in Joshua chapter 15, verse 13, we have this little blurb where we find out he went and took it. He got that mountain. Verse 13, and Caleb said unto the And unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai, the children of Anak. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath Sefer. Okay, you're seeing some of these names, Kirjath Arba, Kirjath Sefer. This is all this same region. Verse 16, and Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb took it, and he gave him Aksa, his daughter to wife, or Aksa, his daughter to wife. So the older generation adopted the vision, but the younger generation adopted it as well. You see, Othniel, his nephew, came along and said, I want that mountain too. I want to get in on this. God's promised it. That's ours. Let's take it. And he went and he took it. Maybe he wanted the female as well, but the wife, but he wanted the vision. That was all part of it. It all went together. And so the younger generation adopted it as well. And I want to challenge you young people also. God wants to do great things with your life. He's called you to certain things. Are you going to adopt the vision? Are you going to get behind what God is leading your parents in? What God is leading your pastor in? Will you adopt the vision of the older generation? And so we see number three, vision adopted. The older generation adopted the vision. The younger generation adopted the vision. Will you adopt the vision this morning? Caleb wholly followed the Lord. He was 100% behind that God-given vision. And I ask you, friend, do you have a mountaintop vision this morning? A God-given mountaintop vision for your life? Or is your vision just to survive in the valley? Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. I'm going to ask Pastor to come to the front here and just be down front and before the podium. And I want to just take a time of invitation with our heads bowed and our eyes closed for us to think about the challenge that God gave us. And I want to ask a few questions and encourage you to do something with what you heard this morning. Do you have a mountaintop vision, a God-given mountaintop vision in your life? Or would you have to say this morning, you know what? I've been satisfied with a valley vision. What about for our church? Do we have a mountaintop vision? Are we willing to recognize what God is leading us to do together? To all get behind the God-given mountaintop vision. Would we do that? And I want to ask, during this invitation time, you're free to raise your hand, you're free to respond if the Lord leads you. I want to ask, would there be some here who would say, I don't have much of a vision in my life as I think about this. God convicted me about having a God-given mountaintop vision to pursue. I hope that's true. I hope you've thought about it deeply. What are you aiming for this morning? And I hope there would also be some here today who would say, you know what? God helped me see. The mountaintop is what we need to be shooting for. Doing big things for God. Not in our own strength. We can't do that. In the strength of the Lord. We're 85 years old, trying to take a mountain with a castle on top full of giants, okay? We can't do it. But with God's help, we can. And I wonder, has God worked in your heart to where you would say this morning, you know what? If it's a God-given mountaintop vision, then I want to be 100% behind that. I want to make that mine. I want to adopt that vision myself and be a part of it. I hope God's worked in all of our hearts that way. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, please. You have a mountaintop vision this morning. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would continue this work in whatever way is needed this morning. I ask that you would work in my heart and give me more of a vision for your calling on my life and a drive to fulfill it. Lord, help me to adopt the vision that you give to my brothers and sisters here at Faith Bible Church and to encourage them in what you've called them to do. Lord, help me to be the kind of person that would follow you. And I pray that for everyone here. Lord, please do whatever work is needed. Lord, if there's some who this morning have been thinking, I don't know about this, I might abandon the vision. Lord, I pray that you would unify us this morning and work. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.